Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. We talk every month with cellist Robert Cohen of the Fine Arts Quartet in a series of conversations called On That Note.
Cohen is recently back from London, and this month we talk about both the physical toll of being a professional touring musician and whether there's a regimen to follow to withstand that toll and still perform your best.
Well, there is, and of course it very often slips out of the way so that you are so, you know, involved in playing and the music and traveling and so on, that, you know, you forget to look after yourself enough. Actually, I seem to remember that somebody once said that to give a recital, like that would be, you know, a two-hour concert, is the equivalent of shoveling a ton of coal. So physical, the amount of energy you burn is enormous. It's like a sport when you play. I mean, you've got to be fit enough in every sense. Your fingers have to be fit, your hands, your arms, your body, your back, you know, everything has to be fit enough just to play the instrument. And if you don't play for a week, for instance, when you pick up the instrument again, you feel slow and you don't feel kind of really on top of things.
So it's almost like having to be in training.
It is.
For a sport.
Absolutely. And there are certain pieces of music which are very physically demanding, and you have to train literally those particular moments of music. For instance, there is the second movement of the Elgar Cello Concerto. It's a moto perpetuo. You play for 5 minutes, incredibly fast notes, without stopping. And your hands and your arms get really, really tired just to get through it. And so you can be fit for playing the rest of the piece, for other repertoire, but you need to practice that movement very specifically for days, if not weeks, beforehand, every day, two or three times, getting faster, and so on, just so that when you come to the days of the concert, you're actually fit to play that very specific movement.
I would think after a concert, there have to be things that you do to kind of relax those muscles, the way sprinters will stretch after a run.
Yeah, and this is exactly what you should do.
but you're saying you don't necessarily.
Well, I'll tell you what happens. You come off the stage, you know, you're hot, your muscles are all pumped up, you're all excited, and you're backstage, and people come to see you, and you're standing up, and you're talking to them, and you're in your kind of sweaty clothes that are cooling rapidly on you, and you just do all of that. Then somebody says, you've got to leave the hall now, we're closing up. So you rapidly kind of put everything away, and could be the next thing you do is catch a taxi to the airport and lift your luggage and the cello, get into the lounge, the gate, and wait for your flight, get on the flight for a few hours, sit in a terrible seat for a few hours, and you've hardly had time to recover in any way at all. So where did all that stretching and the cooling down go? And it's incredibly difficult. And then you're in the kind of, you know, the aeroplane with million germs and everybody, you know, with their different diseases. And then you get off and then you try and get into a hotel or something. But the timing of looking after yourself actually is incredibly difficult. I think when I was in my 20s, I didn't think about it at all. And it took me much less time to warm up to play the cello as well. I mean, I would just pick up the cello and play it. And I think now in my 50s, I just need so many minutes, maybe hours, just to warm up before I get to do a rehearsal or a performance. And that's just age, isn't it? But the same thing should happen after the concert, but still people come backstage. And I like that. That's part of the excitement of the whole event. But it is really tricky to get the timing right.
So if you don't do the stretching and the cooling down that you should do Does it come back around to bite you in the future if you don't pay attention to it?
Well, what I've found is that I have to be incredibly careful with how I play the cello at all. So I'm amazingly careful with the physical actions that I use. I'm very, very aware that I try to make it as natural as possible, and I'm very careful with my movements that my body's not sort of fighting itself. And in fact, I've learned so much about that that I've even set up a clinic for other musicians, because I now know what happens when you're playing and how to put yourself in the right positions and make exactly the most natural movements that you can. And I can help others to deal with their difficulties. But of course, for myself, I can't look at myself from a distance. I just have to feel my way. But having said that, I did very recently go to visit a physiotherapist.
And for the first time, I understand.
Well, yes. And it was not because I was in trouble or anything. It was actually because she was highly recommended by two of my sons who are classical ballet dancers. She is renowned in London, in the ballet world. And I just thought, you know what, it's time for somebody to look at me and tell me what's going on.
How bad it is.
How bad it is. Because, you know, I have all these things when I'm traveling. Like, I always know the muscles that hurt because I have to carry the cello. And there's nothing else you can do. I sadly do not have an entourage of people to...
No valet, no personal valet.
No roadies, you know. I mean, I have friends who said, what, you don't have roadies? Classical musicians don't have people who just carry all their luggage and deliver it to you in the right place. And I said, well, I really wish we did. And we really could do with that. But it just doesn't happen.
And so what did the physio say?
Well, the physio kind of prodded me and looked at me and laughed a bit and was kind of fascinated because, you know, she doesn't deal with cellists very often, probably ever. And she was just saying, well, you've got muscles here that, you know, they're really, really strong, and you obviously do this and this. And then there's these areas, the balance areas, where there's nothing at all. And that doesn't help. So she gave me various exercises that are different exercises that I try to do on a kind of daily basis, normally to try to keep fit. And they're interesting. I mean, they really get supportive of different areas of my body. And I realized that, you know, and we're talking recently, so I'm doing my best. I'm trying to find the ways of recognizing those muscles. Because I think that seems to be part of it, doesn't it? You have to isolate.
You have to be aware of them, I think, yes. Because if you don't, then you don't know what you're doing.
That's right. Yeah. And she kind of would prod me and she said, okay, can you tense that muscle? And I'm saying, well, I don't know where that is, you know. But at the same time, you know, I can tell you all the muscles to do with playing the cello normally, and the movements and the thought behind it and everything else. So it was fascinating to have other things pointed out. And I'm sure that's going to help me when I look at other people as well.
Not only the muscles then, but I mean, you caught a flu or something like that. I mean, those kinds of things, we all hazard that kind of thing when we travel. But for a musician, I imagine it's tougher because you can't, if you're coming in for a concert, unless you're really, really sick, you really can't just say, you know what, I'm just going to stay home.
Exactly. And actually, I've done many concerts in my life where I've been, you know, under the weather or actually pretty seriously ill. You know, I remember arriving in Vienna once and I had a raging fever. The room was spinning around and they were calling me on the phone saying, when are you going to be downstairs? We've got to get to the hall and, you know, like this. And I remember playing a cello concerto that evening and it went perfectly well. You know, it's like the adrenaline of giving a concert is so enormous that it just pushes aside everything else. You just, for instance, you never sneeze, you never cough, you just go through it. Of course, afterwards, you're much worse off than before because you've drained yourself so much. But the adrenaline of the performance really is a kind of temporary cure for almost anything. I also remember once playing a concert in London, and also I was really unwell, and I performed Schubert's Arpeggioni Sonata in the first half. And I felt so disconnected from the audience and myself in a way. I was just in my head, you know. And, you know, I love to play the music to people and to see the response and feel the atmosphere and everything. So I was terribly disappointed that I felt so introverted and disconnected. And a friend of mine came back in the interval to see if I was okay, because he knew I wasn't great. And I said, I'm so, so sorry about that performance. I just think that must have been one of the worst things I've ever done. And he said, do you know what? I've never heard you play better. So that really threw me, my whole sense of how I see my performance and what goes on. It's really confusing at times. And quite clearly what happens when you play is that there's a sort of autopilot. There's all the subconscious things and all the things that you've learned to do. And when you don't necessarily feel well, you just let it happen. You don't push it. You don't try desperately to communicate. You don't push the music to make it more exciting. You just allow your body and your instincts and all that you've ever learned to take over. And sometimes that is really the most effective moment. It's like you step aside and allow the communication to be really free. And I may have said this before, but it happens sometimes, for instance, if I have repeated performances of a piece of music, you know, four nights of the same piece of music. And my wife listening, when I, for instance, done the first concert and thought, well, that went pretty well, you know, I was quite happy with that. And then we would talk about it. And then second night, I would say, well, that didn't feel so good. I felt a little bit less, you know, hyped up, a little bit less excited about it. And that happens, you know, because you don't want to repeat what you did the night before. But if you push too hard, it's not comfortable. And so sometimes you just kind of have to accept it. And then the third night's kind of up again. And your feelings of how you perform each night vary so much. And my wife would come back, say, after the second concert, and I would say, well, you know, that was okay, I suppose, you know. And she would always say, no, actually, you know what? That was even better than the first night. And I've tried to learn this, to understand this all my life, because it is something about free communication where the person performing is not trying to push their point too much, but just believing in it and just feeling it and allowing it.
Being in the moment with
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Whether you've got flu or not.
Well, let's hope that you don't have to have flu. The raging fever is not a good thing, you know.
No, but it's a lesson, isn't it? It's a yeah. lesson. As for a performer, you know, you spend your life performing and you spend your life analyzing why it works, why it doesn't work, and when it works, and so on. And you need to do that from a sense of satisfaction and also because one's constantly trying to be better. So the lesson that one learns about this kind of allowing things is a really a big one.
Right. It's just a terrible toll on your body if you're dealing with fever or flu or your muscles are locked up because you've had a 10-hour flight and you have to get off and play. So let's hope that as you get older, that's another thing you learn to do without having to be sick to do it.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. And learning the best exercises
yes.
and the best training and so on. So I think definitely, you know, one definitely is developing and noticing your own changes, as we all have to, and just making the right adaptations of what you do to make it possible. Because, you know, I would be very happy if I can carry on playing the cello until my very old age.
I'm positive that will happen. I am positive that will happen.
Well, thank you.
Robert, as always, a pleasure, and we will talk to you next month.
Great.
Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen is an award-winning recording artist, conductor, artistic director, and cellist for the Fine Arts Quartet. He spoke with us as part of our regular monthly segment called On That Note with Robert Cohen.